Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's reading is from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them to the vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You will also go to the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. Again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around and said to them, "Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving finally to the first." Those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would also receive more money, but each of them received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun." But he replied to them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give you this one who was hired the last, the same I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want and with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous? For those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last." The word of God for the people of God.
Some of you asked me this morning how my Thanksgiving trip was. I mentioned last Sunday that Kimmy and Cam and Zach and I, we were getting out right after church because we had to go directly to the airport. We were flying to Salina, Kansas, where my sister Liz lives with her husband Braden and their kids Ava and Kaler. So we got there that night and we had a fantastic I almost said Christmas. It's not time for Christmas yet. That's actually my point today. A fantastic Thanksgiving celebration. Now, Kimmy, I've told you all before, she is a 911 dispatcher, so she had to come back early. She flew back on Wednesday, which means that we had our traditional Thanksgiving meal on Tuesday. It was fantastic. We had a massive turkey. I made my dramatically unhealthy green bean casserole. Mashed potatoes, the candied yams. It was just fantastic. And then Kimmy got on a plane Wednesday to come back to town and come to work. And then Thursday for the sort of traditional Thanksgiving day, we had some leftovers, but we also spent a good chunk of the day putting up Christmas decorations at Liz's house. Now, We waited until Thursday, partly, you know, just to have some fun on Wednesday, but also you can't put up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving. You can't. I'm pretty sure it's in the Constitution or the Bible or both. I just think that holidays should come in the same order they are on the calendar. I've been so frustrated. I go into any kind of place and they're already playing Christmas music. It's not time for that. I mean, now it is. Right, starting Black Friday and on, we can have Christmas music. Friends, I have people who give themselves a deadline of Christmas music for October 1st, and it's not okay. Perhaps I'm being a bit of a curmudgeon about it. Perhaps I'm being a bit of a Scrooge about it, which is exactly my point. We're engaging in a sermon series this Advent season, looking at the character Scrooge, looking at who he is, how he experiences and expresses himself in the world, but also about his transformation, about how he goes from that bah humbug person to one who truly celebrates Christmas. It's legitimately, at least for me, it's legitimately problematic that we jump straight into Christmas when really we need to spend our time in Advent. Advent, I hope you know, Advent is a time of preparation. Have you ever had the experience, and maybe you have something coming up over the course of this month, you've got some folks coming over. Do you clean the house? Do you prepare in some way for someone to come to your place? Do you have your kids brush their teeth? Do you prepare for the arrival of even someone who is like more of an acquaintance than a loved one? If you prepare for that circumstance, then isn't it good and right for us to take a moment to prepare our hearts for the arrival of the one that we call Messiah, the arrival of the one that we call Emmanuel, which means God with us? It's all the way back in 2012, but it stands out to me that Christian author Diana Butler Bass, and I've talked to her directly about this, she wrote an article. It was published in, I can't remember where it was published. She wrote an article suggesting, you know, there's a lot of noise about a war on Christmas, and it just ain't true. But it does seem like we're skipping over Advent. I am aware that our wonderful explorers took time today to talk about Advent. I'm so grateful. Because we must prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of the Christ. We need that preparation so that we can experience Christ more fully. Because we all know what it's like when somebody comes over and we didn't clean the house and we're thinking about the stuff on the floor instead of focusing on our guests. We must prepare. Reading just a few paragraphs from A Christmas Carol. "A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you!" cried a cheerful voice. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him so quickly that this was the first intimation he had of his approach. "Bah!" said Scrooge. "Humbug!" He had so heated himself with rapid walking in the fog and frost, this nephew of Scrooge's, that he was all in a glow. His face was ruddy and handsome, his eyes sparkled, and his breath smoked again. "Christmas a humbug, Uncle," said Scrooge's nephew. "You don't mean that, I'm sure." "I do," said Scrooge. "Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough." "Come then," returned the nephew gaily. "What right have you to be so dismal? What right have you to be morose? You're rich enough." Scrooge, having no better answer ready on the spur of the moment, said, "Bah," again, and followed it up with humbug. "Don't be cross, uncle," said the nephew. "What else can I be?" returned the uncle, "when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will," said Scrooge indignantly, "every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should." "Uncle," pleaded the nephew. "Nephew," returned the uncle sternly, "keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine." He's not very Christmassy, is he? Like, I know I'm grumpy about Christmas music before Black Friday, but I think he might have me beat. But Scrooge's attitude reflects the transactional economy of the world. If we work hard enough, if we do enough, then we will be rewarded with wealth. And if you have not been rewarded with wealth, therefore, you have not worked hard enough. You have not done enough. And part of the lesson we can learn from Scrooge, as we consider his story alongside the story of Christmas, is that God's love is not transactional. I feel so strongly about it, I have to say it again. God's love is not transactional. It's not. I can't say it any more plainly. God's love is not transactional. And if we have trouble hearing that, if we have trouble absorbing that, like if we think that God's love is like pie, where if somebody else gets more, we don't get enough, then we're not new, because the people in Jesus' time struggled with the same thing. I want you to hear the text that we read this morning, and I want you to hear it in a little bit of a different manner. I did a little research this morning. Did you know that the average wage, as of about 2 weeks ago, the average wage in the United States is about $15.50 an hour? That means the average daily wage is about $125 a day. So the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner with a big enough truck that he goes over to the nearby Home Depot because he's looking for some day laborers. So he talks to some guys. He says, "I'll give you $125 if you come over. It's a fair wage for a day if you come over and help with a project I've got." And so he puts them in the truck and he goes over to his house. This is early in the day, about 6 a.m. He goes back at 9 a.m. There's still more day laborers there. "I want you to come, get in my truck. I'll pay you. Come and do some work at my home." He goes back around noon. He goes back around 3 in the afternoon. Same group of people in the same Home Depot parking lot. Then he goes back at 5 in the afternoon. There's still some people there. "Come, hop in the truck. I'll take you over to my house. I got some work for you to do." An hour later, 6 o'clock, the day is done. The work day is done. And he has everybody line up. And those people who he picked up last at 5 o'clock, they've been there an hour. He gives them $125. People that he picked up at 3 o'clock, he gives them $125. The people who got there at noon, he gives them $125. The people who he picked up at 9 a.m., he gives them $125. The people he picked up at 6 a.m., they've been working 12 hours, 12 hard hours, and he gives them $125. And they say, "Hang on a minute. That's not fair.
Listen, this guy over here, he worked 1 hour. And you're giving him the same thing you give me for working 12 hours? It's not fair. That's true. God's love is not fair. It's not. It's unquestioningly not fair if you think about it in worldly themes and not heavenly themes. If you think about God's love according to Earth's transactional systems, then 100% it's not fair. But if we can break free of Earth's systems and limitations and transactional nature, God's love is exactly what it is. It's free. It's available. In the Wesleyan tradition, we call it God's prevenient grace. The idea that God's grace is available to us whether or not we know that we need it. God's prevenient grace is offered to us. All of us. No matter what. And this seems to me to be consistent throughout sacred texts. God's prevenient grace is like the father who runs from his home to greet his prodigal son. Can you imagine a God who runs to us and says, I love you. I don't care what you've done. Is God's love fair? Not when we think about it in earthly terms. God's love simply is. It's available to everyone. If you are someone who's been attending church every single Sunday for your whole life, you get God's love. If you're someone who's only here because, you know, you're running technology or you're serving as an usher or because somebody made you or because you were walking by outside and heard some good music and wanted to come in or because you just had that sort of strange urge, maybe I'll show up in church today. The same God's love is for you too. If you're someone who is afraid that if you walk through those doors on a Sunday morning, you're going to burst into flame, God's love is available to you. John the Baptist said it well. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Of course, we've been debating this for years. Remember the story of Emperor Constantine, who, the way the story goes, is he only confessed his faith on his deathbed. Really, it was back in his 40s that he was really beginning to write letters in affirmation of Christianity, but he wasn't baptized until very late in his life. People say, why should he get God's grace? That's not fair. That's right, it's not fair in Earth's economy. But we, as people of faith, as people of spirituality, cannot constrain ourselves to Earth's economy. We must live in God's economy, where grace and love and light and joy and peace and hope are available to all persons no matter what. Doesn't matter if you're worshiping in the room instead of online. Doesn't matter if you come here once a month or once a week. Doesn't matter if you only come on Christmas and Easter. God's grace is available to all persons no matter what. If you think it's not fair, pull yourself out of earthly economy and start living in God's economy. I want to ask you to do something. Very often I'll ask you to do something over the course of a week, and I'll do that later. But I want to ask you to do something over the entire season of Advent. Bless you. Over the entire season of Advent, and I hope this will become a regular practice for you. We had that prayer request earlier. Sometimes in this season, some difficult family conversations come up. Remember God's economy. In everyone,
in every interaction, but especially focus it on those difficult interactions. When you're talking with that person or that group of people, look at that person and remember that that person is made in the image of God. When you look at that person or those people, remember that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. When you look at that person, when you look at those people, remember that God's love is not pie. When you look at that person, when you look at those people, remember that we are living in God's economy, which is so much more than Earth's economy. In this way, my friends, we begin to shine the light of hope. This Advent season, let us live in God's economy. Amen.